Paul's a great name.
Yes, it is.
God bless you. Don't the musicians do a great job tonight? Let's give them a hand this evening. Amen. Praise God. Thank you to Edna and Laura and Richard and Cameron. Praise God. Bless them. They have a faithful spirit. Praise the Lord. And they give themselves to it. So it's interesting to make that connection with Paul. I wouldn't even have known that, but my wife, I'm sure she would know all that history stuff. So it's good to make that connection. Hallelujah. Good to be in Bathurst tonight. We make our home in Moncton. Some of you, as I said, mentioned this morning, we know us from having pastored in Boom Road on the Miramichi for the past 21 years up to 2015, and spent 42 years in ministry, and have been in your church here in different times for conferences and of those types of things. But it's a pleasure and a privilege to be here tonight, and we thank God for that. And as you probably know, we have three children, four grandchildren, and they're all serving God. We're praying for our children, and we're praying for our grandkids. You know, doesn't Cameron do a great job on the on the piano? I thought he was going to do with Jimmy Swaggart there for a minute, you know. He probably doesn't know who I'm talking about, you know. Anyway, it's good to be here. I keep forgetting that I'm on live streaming, and so God bless you folks out there. It's a pleasure to be with you as well. We want to look in a principle that they've put on the board behind me, the middle of a miracle. The middle of a miracle. That's really where we want to go, because living our lives from day to day, we face challenges, and the challenges that we face as a Christian, knowing that God, by His Holy Spirit, dwells within us, brings our lives into the context of the miraculous, because God is at work in your life. God is at work through you. God is at work in you, and that's why Habakkuk was able to say, "The just shall live by faith." Paul in Romans quotes it again. He quotes, "The just shall live by faith." It's living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. And so we understand that the challenge, but we lose sight of it. We understand that, but we lose sight of it, that the challenge that we have and the invitation that we have each day as a Christian is to live by faith and to be a part of something that is greater than ourselves, something that is eternal, something that God, by His Holy Spirit, comes and works in our hearts and lives. And He has a purpose and a plan that goes beyond what we see, what we feel, or what we even understand or think. Because God is great. Amen? God loves us. Hallelujah. And He invites us to love Him and serve Him with all of our hearts. We want to talk about six different miracles in the Bible tonight, and they're going to take their own structure as we walk our way through them. In Mark chapter 4, we find Jesus, as evening came, Jesus said to His disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." He was already in the boat, so they started out leaving the crowds behind, and although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm rose. High waves began to break into the boat until it was nearly full of water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with His head on a cushion. Frantically, they woke Him up, saying, "Teacher, don't you even care that we're going to drown?" Then He woke up, or when He woke up, He rebuked the wind and said to the water, "Quiet now." Suddenly, the wind stopped. There was a great calm, and He asked them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still not have faith in Me?" Jesus addressed the need. That's the miracle we want to talk about, the first miracle. As they were on the Sea of Galilee, He spoke to the disciples. He said, "Let's cross to the other side." In the middle of the sea, storm began to blow. The waves were high. You understand the waves. You understand the danger here in the Shalor Bay of the waves and the way that it can take lives, and of how that's a very real fact of life. And probably, I grew up on the south shore of Nova Scotia, where annually there were people who lost their lives in the lobster fishing and other ways of fishing inshore and offshore. And we understand that that's a fact of life, but in the midst of it all, aren't you glad that Jesus is the master of the waves? Aren't you glad that Jesus is the master of the storm? Praise the Lord. So we find that in the middle of the sea, Jesus was asleep. And the disciples, you know, were afraid. They woke Jesus up and challenged him and said, "Master, don't you care that we are perishing? Doesn't it matter to you that we're going to drown?" This was a storm that made even these Galilean fishermen fear for their lives. There were unusual dimensions. This was not just a breeze. This was not just something, they say in Newfoundland, that created some lops. You know what I mean? It was something that put fear into the heart of many of them, even who had fishing experience. A storm was a demonic attack to take Jesus' life. The theologians tell us that that's very, very probably what it was. Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves, "Be still." The wind ceased and the waves were calm, and the disciples were amazed. Who is this man? Who can this be? Even the wind and the sea obey him. Every one of us finds that we need a miracle at some time. Some part of our life, we need a miracle at some point in our life. Maybe you're in that situation today, and I want to throw that out there at the very beginning, that if you need God to perform a miracle in your life, and you're not sure which way to turn, right, you know, up or down, right or left, then turn to God and surrender your heart and life to him and say, "Jesus, I'm asking you to take control." You know, maybe we are living a miracle today, and living in that miracle, living in that place, is a place where of challenge. It's a place of courage. It's a place that demands our faith. There are two different types of miracles that we find. There's the instantaneous miracle that happens suddenly, and then there is the progressive miracle that takes place. My grandfather Williams was an alcoholic. I asked my dad a couple of months ago, I said, "Dad, was Granddad Williams really an alcoholic? Because I just knew him as a member of the church. I knew him as a deacon in the church. I knew him as a man who loved the Lord. I never had any suspicions until I was probably 35 or 40. I never even heard of it in my life." And I said, "Was Granddad Williams really an alcoholic?" He said, "Well, yeah." He said he was a fisherman. He said, "Mom used to have to go down to meet the boat to get some money to pay the bills because if he walked up off the boat, he would stop on the way home. And by the time he got home, his money was gone." And so he said, "Yeah, he was addicted." And so he was an alcoholic. Aren't you glad Jesus delivers alcoholics? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My grandfather, I never knew, never dreamed that that was ever a part of his past. Aren't you glad that when Jesus cleans a person up, he cleans them up totally? Hallelujah. We don't look back. We look ahead, and we live by faith, and we walk in the miraculous. He lived in the miraculous the rest of his life. He lived in that deliverance the rest of his life. And I'm so grateful to the Lord for that heritage and for that testimony of what God did in his life so many years ago. Others struggle one day at a time in a walk of daily grace and Holy Spirit help. And we know that that's true. Some are instantaneous and some walk day by day. There are three stages of miracles, they tell us. There is the beginning, when we begin to believe God's promise. When we begin to declare that God has promised a miracle, faith grows in our hearts, and we take a hold of the promise of the Lord, and we say, "This is the need, this is the promise." That's the beginning of a miracle. When we see the need and we see the promise, and we say, "God, I'm praying that the two will come together." That's the beginning of a miracle. We see that the end of a miracle is when the problem is solved, when the circumstances have changed, and it's now time to celebrate. And we praise the Lord. We say, and we have a testimony. Like I mentioned, my grandfather and others that you know, or other people's lives, or maybe even you yourself, have walked through circumstances that you're able to look back and see the hand of God at work and say, "That was only God that could do that. That was a miracle. That was a miracle." And you're able to celebrate that and give God praise in it. God's faithfulness is revealed to yourself. It's revealed to everybody else. And he receives the glory. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that there's the beginning of miracles and there's also the end of miracles? Praise the Lord, or the completion of the miracle. But then there's the middle of a miracle. And that's what we really want to talk about tonight. You believe and then you wait. You hope and then you cry. And you pray at an altar and you say, "God, what about this? What about this situation? What about my spouse? What about my family? What about my relationship? What about my children? What about my grandchildren? God, what's going on here? How can I deal with this? What's going to happen?" You feel resistance in your spirit. often things seem to go in reverse. They seem to get worse before they get better, you know. And you're somewhere between promise and fulfillment, between sickness and total healing. You know, all of us go through storms. You hold fast to the promise and you walk by faith and not by sight, and you trust God and say, Lord, I'm trusting you to carry me through. And in the midst of the storm, Satan comes along and tries to sink your boat, and you recognize and you're not sure what that exactly means or how you're going to get through, but you make it through, and he was unsuccessful. In the middle of the storm, you're very close to a miracle. You know, the devil does come and try to destroy you and defeat you, and he's out to wreck your life. In the middle of a miracle can be the hardest place to be. It's the hardest place to be. At the beginning, the end, when it's completed, when it's all over, those are not as bad a place. But in the middle, that's where it's hard. That's where it's difficult. You know, the second miracle we want to look at tonight is Jonah and the whale. In Jonah chapter 1, we read about how that the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah in verse 17. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights, the New Living Translation tells us. And then Jonah was thrown out of the boat into the water. The fish swallowed him, you know, and he's inside the fish. The middle of a miracle doesn't always look like a miracle, doesn't feel like a miracle. I can't imagine that to Jonah it smelled like a miracle. I can't imagine that he even thought he was going to survive. Tells us he prayed. And it tells us the third day that the fish threw him up on the ground, on the beach, and he went and preached to Nineveh. You know the story. But it was the miserable place. The middle of a miracle can be a scary place. You just believe God, and you hold on, and you hang on. 3 days later, Jonah was thrown up on dry ground, and he went off and preached to Nineveh, and you read the story in the Word. But the middle of the miracle, the beginning, the end, yeah, but the middle, that was the scary part. When they tossed him into the waves, into the water, and the ship was so, it was going to break up and fall apart, and it became calm. And they turned to each other and said, what is going on here? But Jonah had disappeared. He was in the belly of a fish. 3 days later, he was thrown up. And God used him, as we read in the Old Testament. The third miracle that we want to look at tonight is the three Hebrew children in the furnace. In Daniel chapter 3, we read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they came before King Nebuchadnezzar, and they said, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. We're not going to bow. We're not going to kneel down before you, Nebuchadnezzar. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, your majesty, can be sure that we will never serve your gods or worship the golden statue you have set up. You know, oh God, even if our God doesn't deliver us, we will not bow down and worship you. I have my mind made up. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to bow. I know what is right. I know where I need to stand, and this is where I stand. God can deliver us from your hand, your majesty. God can deliver us from the fiery furnace. Our God is able. But if he chooses not to, we still will not bow. We're in his hands. Isn't it great to be able to trust the Lord? When everything is laid on the line, God, we're able to trust him. He doesn't leave us alone. If we get our eyes on the circumstances, we don't see God very plain sometimes. We don't feel God's presence very, very clear sometimes. And when we get our eyes on the circumstances, but it's good to know before you even start that his word is true. He is faithful and his promises are absolute. And he says, you can trust me. I preached this morning, and really I'm just continuing that message this morning, that we can trust God. We can have faith in him, and he will not fail. And he does not fail. Hallelujah. But in the middle of a miracle, that's the hard spot to be. That's the hard place. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they looked at the king, the King Nebuchadnezzar of the Babylonians, and he said, we will not bow. you know, in the midst of a miracle, things sometimes can go, as they say, from bad to worse. The furnace was heated 7 times hotter. They were thrown into the fire. 3 men were thrown in, but there were 4 men in the fire. This is a miracle of God's presence in the fire. It says, one like unto the Son of the gods, you know, in the fire. There was a miracle of God's presence in the fire, and there was a miracle of God's protection from the fire. Hallelujah. Because when they came out, I mean, the bonds fell off, but there wasn't even a smell of smoke upon their clothes, is what the word tells us. Aren't you glad that when you're facing that which is so scary, that which is so unpredictable, that which is so unquenchable, that which is so overwhelming, God is still with you? God is still with you. And he said, I will not leave you, and I will not forsake you. You're in the midst of you're in the middle of a miracle. You're walking through grief. You're walking through heartache. You're walking through pain. You're in the middle of a miracle. You're in the middle of a miracle. There's a lot of people that I've visited over the years in the hospital. You know, circumstances has taken them into the hospital over which they had no control. But in the midst of their, as they were lying there in their hospital bed, reaching out to God, God brought them through. And their testimony today, looking back, was that God was with them, that God preserved them, that God protected them, that God gave the doctors wisdom, or that God healed them. Marvelous testimonies of the miraculous power of God in the middle of a miracle. In the middle of a set of circumstances that could go either way, God is with you. Hallelujah. It's a perfect and a wonderful truth. We see the fourth miracle is something a little more commonplace, but it's the miraculous catch of fish. Luke chapter 5, and when it tells us he had finished speaking, Jesus said to Simon or to Peter, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, he replied, Simon, we've worked hard all night and didn't catch a thing. If you say so, we'll let the nets down again. And this time their nets were so full of fish they began to tear. Verse 7 says, a shout for help brought their partners to the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. They toiled all night, but they caught nothing. Jesus came, and in the midst of their toil, he gave them instruction. He gave them instructions. They were humble enough to obey the instructions. I can picture the question of humility or not, of saying, like, you're not a fisherman, Jesus, pardon me, but you're not a fisherman. I've been doing this all my life. There's nothing out there. You know what I mean? But they humbled themselves, and they did what Jesus had requested or instructed them to do. And their nets were filled to overflowing in the midst of their toil. Now go out where it's deeper, let down your nets, and you will catch many fish. Obedience to Jesus opens the door for a miracle. Sometimes he gives us instructions right in the middle of the situation we find ourselves in. And it doesn't seem possible. It doesn't seem like it makes sense. And my mind goes to a story of my dad who had very severe angina heart. He was 44 years of age, worked for Michelin Tire in Bridgewater, Nova Scotia, was laid off indefinitely on a pension for the rest of his life. And he had lived in a mobile home in Bridgewater in Nova Scotia. And he had owned a small home in Lockport where I had grown up. And the Lord said to my mom and dad, go back to Lockport and sell the house. Now, it makes sense that they would sell the mobile home, move back to the homestead, and plan to live out the rest of their life. That's what would make sense in the natural. But God said, go sell the house in Lockport. So they drove to Lockport. And they sold the house. In the whole process of that weekend, when it was all the deal was coming to a completion, it happened to be a youth service in the service that church that night. And Mom said, "Dad, are you going to church tonight?" My dad's name is Saint Clair, St. Clair. So it's kind of a, I don't know if that's French or English or where it goes, but it's a different name. That's all I know. So he comes to church. He said, "I'm going to church." Mom says, "What about your chest?" He said, "Because his chest was on fire." He said, it was like a knife sticking in his chest and twisting. He said, if I die, I'm going to die in church. You know. So he went to church. He said he didn't really remember much about the service because he was in such pain. But he said that he ended up and went into the prayer room, downstairs in the prayer room. A bunch of people said, You know, Claire's going to be going through, going to the Victoria General Hospital for an angiogram. We should pray for him. So a bunch of them gathered around him and laid hands on him and prayed for him. And you know, he said as they prayed, he said that it was like warm oil settled upon the top of his head. And it came down through his body. When it reached his chest, he said the pain totally left. And it went right on down through his body. God miraculously healed my dad. You know, this August, my dad will be 90 years of age. This coming August, he'll be 90 years of age. So he's been living in the middle of a miracle for a long time, you know. But I'm so grateful to the Lord that God is a God of the miraculous. God is a God of the miraculous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He does all things well, and we give him praise and for his goodness. We see the miracle that the children of Israel faced when they came to the Red Sea. We want to look at that one. In Exodus chapter 14, Pharaoh and his army approached, and the people of Israel could see them in the distance marching toward them. The people began to panic, and they cried out to the Lord for help. They had left Egypt. Moses had led them out of Egyptian bondage. And as they were going towards the desert, they came to the Red Sea, and the Red Sea, and there was no place to go. And so the word tells us in Exodus and that they turned against Moses and complained, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? Why did you make us flee or leave? Didn't we tell you to leave us alone while we were still in Egypt? Our Egyptian slavery was far better than dying out here in the wilderness." But Moses told the people, "Don't be afraid. Stand where you are. Watch the Lord rescue you. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. You won't have to lift a finger in your defense." The children of Israel in the middle of a miracle. The children of Israel's back was against the Red Sea. The armies of Pharaoh were closing in. It didn't look like a miracle. It looked like a disaster. Fear filled their hearts. They could have had either had faith or fear. The scripture tells us they gave in to fear in the middle of that miracle. And yet the word tells us that God caused a strong east wind to come, that when Moses stretched forth his rod over the Red Sea, that God parted the Red Sea and they walked through on dry ground. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They were in the middle of a miracle. Their backs were against the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army was coming. God rescued them. God made a way of escape. He put the cloud and the fire behind them. The Egyptians were unable to come against them, and we know the Egyptians perished in the water when they pursued them down in crossing the Red Sea. But never doubt in the dark what God shows you in the light. That's a quote from Reverend Amos Dodge. You know, I heard him say that. Never doubt in the dark what God shows you in the light. When God gives you a promise, stand on his word. It may get messy. It may get worse. The circumstances may gang up on you and you're not sure which way to turn. You're not sure where God or how God is going to carry you through, but his word is true. Sometimes he'll give you instructions, like he gave my dad instructions, go and sell your home, you know, in Lockport, you know, and God healed him. In the part of that context, that was a healing plan that God had for him. And obedience opened the door so that he was there at the right place at the right time with the right people. And there was healing that was in the picture from my dad. And he's, again, still alive today and so in serving God. So we praise God for his faithfulness. And so we find that every miracle has that middle point where you choose to keep believing or quit believing. The Egyptians were coming. The Israelites had a choice. Do I believe God or do I give in to fear? God rescued them because they had a deliverer and his name was Moses. God rescued them because they had a deliverer. There's sometimes even when we are in the middle of situations where fear becomes insurmountable and we're not sure which way to turn. And we give in to that. But aren't you so glad today that when we whisper the name of Jesus that we have a deliverer, that we have a Lord, and his presence is sweet, his promises are true, and he comes to us in the midst of our need, and he says, hold on. He said, I am with you, and I will not leave you, and I will not forsake you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the middle of a situation that you may find yourself in, the middle of life where you find yourself today, The sixth miracle is about Lazarus, raising Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11. This has been called the miracle that came too late. We know it was never too late for a miracle, but Moses was dead and in the tomb 4 days. And when Jesus came to his home in Bethany, he asked them to open the tomb. They told him that the body would stink. Many times the middle of a miracle stinks. It gets stinky. It's messy. You're not sure what's going to happen or which way you're going to turn. It's hard not to give up when things go from bad to worse. It's hard not to fear when the storm is raging around you. But remember, when things stink, it's the middle of a miracle, because God is still on his throne, because God is still faithful, because God's word is still true, because God's word is still established. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't look to the right nor to the left, but we look to Jesus. Hallelujah. And we can place our confidence and our trust in him, because he is there. Amen. Amen. And just never give up. We see that, remember when the times that you have dedicated your life to God and obeyed his word, and the storm is raging and God seems a long ways off, you're in the middle of a miracle. You're in the middle of a miracle. And the key is to be obedient to the Lord. Trust Jesus, because he is the God of the miraculous. Circumstances can be desperate, but it's important to know that God is a God of the miraculous, and that you are in the middle of a miracle. You are in the middle of a miracle. You know, it's important to know that God's will for the rest of your life begins today. Begins today. You don't live your life today only in the light of yesterday. You live your life today in the light of tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, because you're living by faith and you're trusting in Jesus and you're serving him with joy and with confidence. We've moved into a new season in our lives where we are home Sundays. We are members in Glad Tidings in Moncton. We're not there that much, you know. I talked to Pastor Paul and I said, you know, like most Sundays we're on the road somewhere else and we're preaching in another church. And, you know, we're enjoying that season of life. We're enjoying this season of life. And in doing that, we're confident that we are in the middle of doing what God wants us to do and making a positive contribution to the entire kingdom of God. And so we praise God for this opportunity, because as little sometimes as we feel we accomplish, we understand and know that we are living in the middle of a miracle. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's better, but it's always in the presence of God. It is great. Amen? Hallelujah. We have confidence. You know, Amos Dodge said this: where you are, God has placed you. Where you are, we look around sometimes and say, you know, is anything significant about where I am? Have I missed the challenges of my life? Have I missed opportunities? Where you are today, God has placed you. Remember that. Secondly, what you have, God has given you. What you have, God has given you. Praise the Lord. So count your blessings. You know, what you are to do, God will show you. He's not left you alone. He's not wound you up and set you in a corner and said, now just kind of live out your days. But what you are to do, God will show you. And let it have eternal significance as you recognize that he is our eternal Savior and Lord. And all you need, God will provide. All you need, God will provide, because he is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Jireh. I remember a number of years ago, I was walking with Cameron in Thamesville. He was about 12 or 13 years old at that time. And I said, Cameron, do you know why Christians don't win the lottery? And he said, well, no. I remember when we don't buy the ticket, but, you know, I said, if God wanted Christians to win the lottery, he'd tell us the numbers. God knows the numbers. That's a no-brainer, right? That's a no-brainer. But you know why? It's because he is Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Jireh. He is God, our provider. Hallelujah. That's who he is. He's Jehovah Jireh. He is God our provider. It's not Lady Luck or some other thing. It is God who is our provider. Because he is Jehovah Jireh. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So don't sweat it. Just take and open your heart to God. Seek his face and say, Lord, you've called me to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. You've called me to walk and be led by your Holy Spirit and do your will in my life. And God, that's my determination. That's who I am. That's the confident hope of my spirit, of the direction of my life. And God, I can't be Billy Graham. You know, God, I can't be this other person, or I can't be this, I can't sing like they can, like Bill, you know what I mean? Or I can't sing like Edna. Lord, what can I do? I can't do anything. That's not true, because God has called you for his purpose. Amen? God has put you here for his reason, and you are living in the middle of a miracle. So look for the hand of God, and as you recognize the hand of God, celebrate. Celebrate the hand of God. Celebrate the miraculous. Celebrate the provision of the Lord. Celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. When you have the money to get that money order or write out that check to pay that bill, rejoice in it. Rejoice in it. Don't say, I'd rather spend the money on a trip to Hawaii, you know. Just rejoice that God has provided you. He's provided the means by which you're able to meet your needs, and he is providing for you, and we rejoice in that because we're living in the middle of a miracle. Hallelujah. That's where we live. That's what we're doing. Sometimes the middle of a miracle doesn't look like a miracle. Sometimes it really stinks. Sometimes things go from bad to worse. The beginning is the need and the promise. The end is the testimony. And like my dad, I'll use him as an illustration, 89 years of age, said, I think I'm going to make it to 90. He told me a couple of months ago, I think I'm going to make it to 90. He said, that's in August, you know. I think I'm going to make it. Doesn't have an ache nor a pain. Mobile, lives with my brother, you know, and his wife in Bridgewater. Gets up, walks around, you know. Carries on great conversations, rejoices in the things of the Lord. God is good. God is good. So his life, looking back, he's able to say, God has been faithful. God has been good. My mom went to be with the Lord about 6-7 years ago, and God has been good. Amen? God is good, because we live in the middle of a miracle. So I don't know where you are tonight, but he is the giver. And so I ask you this evening, you say, you know, if are you in the middle of a miracle? Are you at a point in your life where you recognize the need and you see the promises of God and you're not sure how to bring it into focus? You need to pray and say, Lord, I submit this need, I submit myself to you, and I ask you to take charge and take control. I ask you to be my Lord. I ask you to be my God. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and lead me one step at a time, one day at a time, and help me to be faithful in that. And as you do that, over time, you may have two different things. You may either have an instantaneous answer, or you'll have a progressive answer in which you'll see the hand of God at work. But whether it's instantaneous, or whether it is a wondrous miracle, or whether it is a gradual supervision of the Lord, blessing of God, rejoice in seeing the hand of God at work and being a part of his answer, because he is a God who answers prayer. Amen? Let's bow our hearts in prayer this evening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you this evening. We thank you, O God, for your great love. We thank you, Lord, for your great provision. We thank you for Calvary. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your many promises. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, O God, for the truth of your word and the wonderful truth and the gift of your word that we can read your word and understand it, and oh God, and we can receive from it, oh Lord, and our hearts will grow in faith and in joy and in confidence. We're so grateful, oh God, this evening because your word is true. We're so grateful tonight that we can come before your throne of grace and obtain help in time of need. So we ask in Jesus' name, in Jesus' holy name, to have your sweet and perfect and precious way in every person's life. We'll ask the musicians to come, if you would, at this point. And we just want to invite you to stand as a congregation tonight. Praise God. Just stand with us tonight as they come. We would invite you to consider the fact that we would ask you this evening, are you living in the middle of a miracle? Do you find yourself in a place where you say, Pastor, you know, I wish I had 5 minutes so I could tell you what God did in my life this past month. You know what I mean? Like, your chance will come. Don't worry about it. It's not going to be right now. But, you know, maybe you're at the end of a miracle and you're able to say, wow, God has been good, you know. But, or maybe you're at the beginning, or maybe you're in the middle where things can be a little difficult, a little messy, a little challenging. And the invitation I would give you this evening is, do you need to come and find that place of prayer and say, Lord, I just want to present myself to you. I want to surrender my heart and my life and myself, and I want you to impress upon me the place of where I'm walking with you, led by your Holy Spirit, directed by you, and God, that I'm able to live today and tomorrow and the day after, walking with you and doing your will in my life. Hallelujah. That's the desire of my heart. And is that where you are tonight? If that's where you are, then I invite you to call upon the Lord and say, Lord, come. And Lord Jesus, come and take me by the hand and walk with me through this day. Walk with me through this time. For in Jesus' name we pray. Praise God. God is speaking to your heart as they sing. I would invite you to step out and come if you want to kneel in the pew, if you want to kneel at the front.